This was the only solution to the problem, they thought. There's no other way to get enough men into the ranks. The Confederate Congress agreed with this estimate, and in April of 1862, passed legislation. That legislation, number one, made all white males 18 to 35 years old liable for 3 years' service. The second provision was even more important in a sense because it retained in the Army all of those men who had enlisted for 1 year's service back in 1861. It really changed the rules in the middle of the game on these men who had enlisted in good faith back in 1861. Their terms of service were about to expire. Now they're told that they're going to be kept in the Army. There was a spike in desertion right after passage of the Confederate conscription law. Many of the men who'd gone in as 12 months men believed that they'd been cheated by their government, and many of them deserted. Another provision of this Confederate draft exempted several classes of potential soldiers. Among those were men who worked in war production jobs, civil servants, militia officers, clergymen, and teachers with 20 pupils or more. A number of Rye observers noted that there seemed to be a special call to become a teacher among young men that they hadn't noticed before this provision of the draft law went into effect. The final provision of this piece of legislation that I'll mention allowed draftees to escape service by hiring a substitute. If your name came up and you were drafted, you could pay money to someone else to go serve in your place. Now, this wasn't something new with the Confederacy. The notion of substitution in this kind of circumstance was an old tradition in the United States. Now, this entire resort to a draft was at least mildly ironic in the Confederacy because this was a South that allegedly was dedicated to preserving individual rights and state rights against a centralized government that might reach down and perform in inequitable ways with its citizenry. And here is the Confederate States government reaching down and telling men they had to serve in the military. It went very much against the notion of state rights. But it had been necessary. This is the only way that the Confederacy could keep men in uniform. National conscription was the only option. The odds made this necessary. The North was working with a manpower pool of more than 4 million men. The Confederacy was working with a manpower pool of slightly more than a million men. There was no way the South could match the North if it were left entirely to volunteering. Now, second set of exemptions went into effect in October 1862, excusing many other trades such as blacksmiths, salt workers, and tanners. These were occupations that were vitally necessary behind the lines. The government had learned this in the course of the early operation of the draft law. You had to have these kinds of people behind the lines or society would fall apart. You had to give them the opportunity to do the things that every community needed to have done. And in the instance of salt workers, you needed that salt for the national war effort. The most important new exemption was that one white man on any plantation with more than 20 slaves was exempted. This exemption, together with the provision allowing the hiring of substitutes, caused many bitter protests. Many poorer whites in the South said that this was a rich man's war, but a poor man's fight. A poor man couldn't avoid military service. A rich man could avoid it by hiring a substitute, or could be that one white man on plantations or farms with 20 slaves who was exempted from service. The cost of substitutes eventually reached about $6,000 in Confederate money, about $300 in gold. There was so much opposition to substitution that the Confederate Congress abolished it in December of 1863. As the war went on, the Confederate draft was further amended. In September 1862, the upper age limit was raised to 45 years old. So now it's everyone 18 to 45. In February 1864, the age spread was expanded again. It was lowered to 17 years on the younger end and raised to 50 years on the upper end, 17 to 50 years. And in that February 64 legislation, all men then in the Army were required to stay in the Army until the war was over. Even those now who had joined for 3 years back in 61, they are in the Army for the duration. If you're a Confederate soldier.